All right, we are going to just spend, I don't have a new series for this week. My plan is to start in the book of Matthew starting next week. But this is one of my favorite times just to kind of set the vision for kind of what is at the heart of what some of my teaching will be, but also just the focus of the ministry, just kind of having something to anchor us down. And so I always have one word for the year, and some years it's been a real fun one, like cannonball, that we would be all in. Last year was to multiply, and we saw God bless that in different ways, you know, and just seeing us, our own faith grow and multiply individually, and also as more people came in to be a part of our church body. This year, I have a word for you. It's actually multiple words, and it's in your sermon notes, and it's a giveaway, but I'd like to hang on to it till the end, you know, just keep you at the edge of your seats, you know, in eager anticipation. But I just want to start some things out. We're actually going to study out of the book of Jude today, Jude. And you can find Jude at the very end of your Bible. If you find Revelation and go to the left, you'll find the book of Jude. It's a very short letter, and we'll, I think, get some great insights out of the book this morning as we think about what we want to do in the next year. What are some things that need to really anchor us that we need to be focused in on? If we stand for nothing, or if there's nothing to stand for, there is nothing our faith can stand upon. I'll say that again. If there's nothing to stand for, there's nothing for our faith to stand upon. Have you ever looked at a weather vane on the top of a barn? It's got a little rooster thing, and it spins around, and it points in the direction that the wind is blowing, right? That's how it works. If it were the same sort of mechanism as a windmill, the thing would just keep spinning, right? There's got to be some sort of stopper on it. I've never gone onto the roof of a barn to figure out how those things work, but there's something there that keeps it fixed so that as the wind changes, it doesn't just keep spinning around. There's an anchor there. And what I see in our culture is a weather vane with no anchor. And it just sort of keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. And whatever sort of thinking that people have, then that just seems to be all right. As Christians, we have decided that there is something that we're going to stand for. There is an anchor in which we root our lives. There's something that keeps us established and firm. And at the very most fundamental point of that would be that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. We've decided to build a community around that idea, that belief, that faith. And that's the anchor in which we do everything else, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified and resurrected and ascended to the throne of God, that he is our King. And so with that sort of anchor, we know that we see the culture spinning around and there's a new idea and that seems like a great thing and people want to go with that. We see a constant changing culture. And what I want for us is simply to be a faithful community that stays steadfast in the belief that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And I know that it's not in your identity to say an amen, or maybe it's, and it's definitely not a oorah or anything like that. But if you're at least in agreement with me, give me a little bit of a feedback like, we are a community that's rooted and established in Jesus Christ as Lord and King, and that's all right. And we can say amen to that, that that's our identity and that's who we are, that that's who we're anchored in, and we're not going to be persuaded by ever-changing winds and opinions about the identity of Jesus, about what is truth and what isn't, that we're going to be firm in our faith. Now, what happens with that is there is grumbling, and there is division, and there would maybe even be hatred or persecution that would come our way because we refuse to think or just go with the ever-changing wind of the belief systems about who Jesus is or any number of things in our culture. Now, in my preparation for the study of Jude, I came across who the audience was Jude was writing to. And I have down in your notes, I actually provided blanks for you. I thought it's a new year, and maybe I'll provide blanks for you for those that like to fill in the blank. If you don't and you like incomplete notes, that's fine. That's pretty much all of my notes from college. I'm right there with you. All right. So in the question of who is the audience of the book of Jude, we come across this sense of there are people who say that God loves you exactly as you are. So God loves you exactly as you are. And because God loves you just exactly the way you are, you don't have to change in the least. This is the audience of Jude, and I just want, by a show of hands, do you think that there's that opinion today, that God loves you exactly the way you are? Right? Have you heard that? And the follow-up to that is that because God loves you exactly the way you are, there's no need for you to change. Now, that's music to our ears, right? Like, you mean to say I can stay the selfish jerk that I am? All right, I like it. I can do whatever I want. But we know that but let's just cover who the audience is. But this became the prevailing thought. God loves you exactly the way you are. And because of that, you can just stay away from transformation. But we know that transformation is about is about discipleship. Discipleship is about learning the way of Jesus. It's about taking on the ethics and the care and the love that Christ has for the world and making it our own. And I think about this thought in our prevailing culture. We have people who say to us, don't judge us. And the ultimate condemnation of our culture is that someone would condemn or judge another person. It's the very worst possible thing that we could do to each other. And then we attribute all kinds of bigotry, or we just start making names about the people that question our decisions. Right, so it's the worst thing you could possibly be as a judgmental person. And I know that that's probably an opinion some people even hold here right now. And now let me tell you why you're wrong. Here we go. Now, going back to my team thought within communion, if I were on a team with someone back in my football days and someone wasn't showing up to practice, I would say to my teammate, hey man, we need you, what's going on? And I would want for my friend, who's a critical part of our team, to be a part of what's going on so that we can win on Friday night. Is there anything wrong with me reaching out to my teammate and saying, hey man, what's up? We've been missing you in practice. Or you haven't been giving your best effort, is everything all right? Is there anything wrong with me as a teammate asking that question? Because my best interest is for the team and what we're trying to do on Friday night, win the ball game, and I know that I need Larry to help me in that endeavor. I picked Larry because I like the name Larry, and I don't know why. But anyways, what is wrong with a Christian saying to a fellow church member, I haven't been seeing you at church. Is everything all right? Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything judgmental about it? Could the person perceive it as judgmental? Yeah. Because, I haven't shown up, I haven't marked the tally on the church attendance roster, because apparently God has a tally mark up there. We know that, right? You guys need to show up more. God's going to condemn you. The purpose of our church gathering and our sort of asking if everything is all right is not, for me, when I do it, and I hope for, I think, the majority of everybody else doing it, is not out of a judgmental criticism about your church attendance. It's about a genuine care and desire to know what's going on in your lives so that we might be able to encourage you and help you. Where I see the breakdown is this. While my team is looking forward to Friday, while my team is striving and working towards victory on Friday night, what is it that we're striving for? And what is the sort of accountability that we would have together? What are we trying to work towards? And can you just come and go and no one will notice if you're not here or not? Somebody will notice. We're small enough that it works that way. And so do you have an answer? What's our Friday night? What's our goal? What's our aim? And to me, the very definition of what our goal is the gospel. It is this sort of rooted hope that we are established and firm in, and that is that the kingdom of God is to be the pursuit of everything we do. And the pursuit of the kingdom, of seeking first Christ and his righteousness, of just letting that be our laser-like focus as a congregation, then I know that I can't embody, I can't reflect the goodness of God all by my lonesome, that the better we are together and the stronger and more unified and reconciled and loving and the way that we practice our faith together, rooted and established and firm that Jesus Christ is the Lord and King of our lives. When we strive together, the better we reflect the kingdom of God and his goodness and his mercy and his love in this world. The better we work together and hold each other up, the more we shine a light into a dark world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. And so when I ask, are you okay? I genuinely mean it because I need you to be a part of the team. Not just for my own sake, but for the entire community, the entire body's sake. That we are so much better together. Our church family has been through a journey in the month of December where we've had to rally together in so many different ways and nooks and crannies of our community and to shine light to each other and just support each other through what was a terrible month, and I'm glad it's over. But friends passed away this month, last month, and hurt, and things that we need each other for. And it is a testimony of the grace and mercy and love of God when we care about one another. If we can't say, hey, how are you doing and how can I help and actually genuinely mean it and work through it together, we're never going to reflect the kingdom. If we can't hold each other accountable, what are we going to do? And the prevailing culture says, you be you. That you're loved just the way you are. That you just go on ahead and do whatever it is that you please. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to be a part of a team where the individual gets to prevail over the team. Where what one person wants and desires is more important than what everybody else deems best and necessary for the pursuit of our goal. And the pursuit of our goal is to glorify Christ in everything we do. To seek first Christ and his kingdom in all things. Holy cow, is that right? I didn't even get into the text yet. Okay. Oh my goodness gracious. All right. Well, I think there was a sermon in there somewhere. Let's cover point two, and then we'll cover Jude. No, wait. I wanted to read the entire book of Jude. It's a new year. Did I tell you the new plans for Etna Green is to have an hour and a half service? Did we cover that? The elders approved it. They were all in favor. Mike Settle, I get to sleep longer. And I'm sorry, Mike. That was terrible. That was disrespectful. Yeah, it was Mike Zentz. He's not here to defend himself. All right. Well, hey. All right. So the culture, the people in Jude, they are saying, you know, God loves you exactly how you are. The other things that folks say is people say there are many ways to get to salvation, that Jesus is one among many options to be saved. The people are saying there are many ways to get to salvation, but Jesus is one among many options to be saved. And what we'll find in Jude, and it's the same thing happening in our culture, is that you are free to pursue Christ however you want to pursue him. And whatever your salvation means, whatever road or avenue gets you there, fine by us. As I have said and reiterated a few different times already this morning, that's not who we are. Our message is that Jesus is salvation, that he's the deliverer. I talked about it at the gift of Jesus as the gift of a Savior, that his mission was in large part to seek and save what was lost and to redeem and save all of us. And so when we look at the culture in the world that just says, you know, whatever it is that you want to pursue, whatever it is that will make you happy, whatever it is that will deliver you, then so be it. And friends, we join together with a longstanding tradition of what the scriptures have taught us. That when I stand up here, I'm not standing on my own sort of like thoughts and ideas. I'm standing on the scriptures that say that there is no name under heaven by which anyone can be saved outside of the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12. And that we listen to the words of Christ when he says that he is the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. We stand on the promises of John 3:16, knowing and believing that Jesus Christ offers the gift of eternal life to those who would believe in him. We don't stand up here, we don't stand together on nothing. We aren't anchored on nothing. We are anchored on the Word of God that says Christ is our King, Christ is salvation, and he is the deliverer, he is our hope, and everything we do is rooted and established in him. Now, I do not want to leave this morning without sharing the Word and giving you some practical wisdom for Christian living in 2017. So at the end of Jude, in verse 17, Jude 17. Jude is so short, he just has one chapter, so you don't, whatever. Anyways, Jude 17. It says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit." You know, that's a great summary of everything that happens before. Jude explains how different people are trying to cause division and problems. He explains the audience of a people who just think God loves you the way you are and you can just keep doing whatever it is that you want to do. And these people cause problems and divisions and they live an empty life. But he says, "Dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." When I took a look at Jude 20 and the following, and through 22, through 23 this week, and I was thinking about, as Christians, at the new year and the things that we want to implement and make our lives better, and maybe it's lose weight or quit something or quit a bad habit, start new healthier habits. I look at this list and I see something that can keep a church busy for a long while doing the important work of God. Let's just take a quick look at it. Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit. I copied off a read through the Bible plan, and you can grab one on the way out. There are options on YouVersion app, your Bible app. You could be reading. You have enough reading plans to keep you busy until now, until eternity. Read your scriptures. Build each other up. Going back to my point about community and life together, make a commitment and a covenant this year to say, you know, we're going to be together as a church body. And I know that that will be challenged, and you will feel like you're ostracized. And there will come a moment, maybe 2 months from now, or maybe 6 months from now, and you'll feel like, man, I don't know that I'm a part of this. Friends, don't believe that lie, and don't let sin, and don't let the things that tear us apart do allow it a foothold in our lives. But build each other's up in our faith. Our faith is good, and we stand firm on the gospel of Christ. Stand together in Him. Be in prayer, it says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. That if you be dedicated to praying to God every day, as much as you can, as often as you can, be in prayer, a prayer walk with Christ. And I'd love to talk to you more about how you can make that prayer more a part of your lives. Keep yourselves in God's love. Keep yourselves. Maintain. Just remain in God's love. Stay in His love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. It's just Jude's way of saying, hang in there. The world's just going to keep spinning, and the pressures of the world are just going to keep coming. But remain and stay steadfast and contend for the faith, and don't give up. And he says, as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life, and so as we wait for God's mercy, we are to be merciful to those who doubt. I would like Aetna Green Church of Christ be a safe place to doubt. That you can ask questions and wonder, what did Jesus mean by this? I would love it to be a place where if you have questions about who God is, that you feel free to ask the questions and you aren't condemned for not knowing the answer. But that we would build one another up and encourage each other, that we would be merciful to each other. And here's probably the most important thing, that we would save others by snatching them from the fire to others show mercy mixed with fear. Save people. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation? And are there people who don't believe it, who need to hear about it? There's no more important task of the Christian church than to preach Christ crucified and resurrected, to give people the hope of salvation, to share with others that Jesus is Lord and King, that sin doesn't have to reign in their lives, that they can have a new life in Him. What we are presenting is not just a simply get out of hell card. We're presenting people with the option of a better life today, of hope, of encouragement, of a new life. And so I'd ask you, friends, is your life better because Christ has been in it? Because your focus has been on Him? If you believe it to be true, then friends, let's just rally together and say, you know what? We need to tell people about Christ. Let's snatch them from the fire. Tell others about Christ. And then finally it says, to others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. That verse is talking about people, I think, in the church who fall away. And it's about restoring them and helping them and bringing them to be a part of the church family again. But being cautious enough to know that when you deal with sin, the temptation to drag you down right with them happens. And so have a reverent fear to say, you know what? I'm going to help you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to encourage you. I want you to be a part of the church body, but I'm not going to engage in what you're doing. Separating ourselves from sin, pursuing Christ. And here, friends, is the word of the year, and I did it in a lot quicker time than I think I was anticipating. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. You are kept from stumbling when your foundation is Christ, who presents you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. It is my commitment to you, and I pray our commitment as a church family, that the year 2017, all glory would be to Christ. That all glory would be to Christ in the work that I do. That all glory would be to Christ in our worship gatherings together. That all glory would be to Christ when we strive together and we work hard in VBS. That all glory would be to Christ in all things and in every way, that as a church family, we would glorify our one and true King. All glory be to Him. Let's make 2017 a year to glorify God in all things. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. And as you've heard me say, and I hope spoke through me to say, God, we want to make this year about you and your glory. That in every action, in all our attitudes, and the decisions we make, we would focus on glorifying you in everything we do. All glory be to you, Christ, our King, our Savior. We love you, Lord. Lead your church family. We thank you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.